Hey, hockey fans, you are listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday. It's Western Conference Wednesday. We're going to talk sports right now on Locked On NHL.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everyone. I am Sarah, host of Locked On Kings, one half of Western Conference Wednesday here on Locked On NHL. As always, joined by partner in crime, Calgary Flames' own Jess Belmosto, host of Locked On Flames. Hi.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. Well, when you're listening to this, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, when you're all listening to this.
Yeah.
I wish it was Wednesday.
Yeah, we can, we'll pretend.
Like, yeah.
Fast forward, it's Wednesday.
Right. There we go.
Yeah, we're done.
Wow. Cool. Awesome. Middle of the week. We made it.
Amazing. We did it. We're halfway through, guys. Well, This is Locked On NHL. It is fake Wednesday for us at the moment. And thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for making this podcast your first listen of the day. Every day, you can get all the cool news about the NHL on this here show. And make sure you're subscribed to us on whatever your podcast or YouTube platform of choice is. We are free and available there for you to go hit that big subscribe button. Hit the notification button. Never miss an episode.
Wherever it is, somewhere.
Yeah, it's down there somewhere. But you're awesome because you are watching or listening to this show. What isn't awesome is, sadly, our content for the day. Yeah. Not because of us or anything that we did. It's more the subject matter of the show. So I will preface the show with a little bit of a content warning for listeners out there. We are going to be talking about the situation with the Blackhawks. And their press release thing on Tuesday, kind of wrapping up their investigation into the sexual assault allegations. We're not going to go into detail about what happened, so you don't have to worry about that, but we are talking about the situation and the aftermath and everything. So if that is something you don't want to be listening to or aren't comfortable with, go skip the show and pet a cat or something, because that's what I would do instead too. I have cats. Maybe they'll show up for
We have a fun palate cleanser at the end. So maybe just jump to that.
Right. Like jump to 2 minutes before the end of the show or something. We'll make it worth your time.
I promise.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's one of those things where this news came down and we were both like, well, guess we know what we're talking about. And it's we'd much rather be dunking on Vegas or talking about
literally anything else.
Like Elias Lindholm is doing really good on your team. Like that's cool. Like my team has all of their defensemen hurt. Like that's not cool. Like those are much more better things that we would rather be spending our energy on. And instead we, should be addressing this and should be looking at this. So for anyone who hasn't heard, who has been avoiding the news, kudos to you. Congratulations. I wish I were you. The Blackhawks on Tuesday announced the findings of the investigation that was done into the sexual assault allegations that were made against their former video coach. The Blackhawks hired, kind of under pressure, but it was the right thing to do. They hired an outside law firm to come in and do this investigation. And the results of the investigation are scathing. They interviewed, the report is 107 pages long. If you are it does contain a lot of very specific graphic details, so I would not recommend reading it if that is not something that you are in a position to read or are comfortable reading. I wouldn't recommend it. I read it largely because it is unfortunately very similar to things that I do in my day-to-day job. So it was a familiar, obviously much more serious, but a familiar world for me. I took a read into it and they are very clear that, this was something that happened 10 years ago. It happened in 2010. And so they acknowledge the fact that, memories fail people. You kind of remember things one way. Maybe you heard something. It's 10 years ago. Like, I don't know what I was doing 10 years ago.
I don't even know what I was doing 5 years
ago. Right. Or like yesterday.
Yeah. And that's not defending anyone.
Right. No, I feel like it was good of them to acknowledge that, because I think it kind of preempts anyone being, trying to criticize the results of this, saying, well, how could you say that this happened? Like, when all of these testimonies or reports or statements are different. You know, this guy said one thing, this guy said another thing. And when you do these investigations, you take that into account and you understand that no one's memory is perfect. So you're kind of basing it off of the totality of the evidence. And they did good. It was like 100 gigabytes or something of data. They got emails, they got personnel records, they got phone records, you know, texts where they could. So they really did do this investigation kind of unimpeded and had access to whatever they could get. They talked to like 100+ people.
Yeah,
in their investigation.
I saw there was like 129 or 139, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very significant,
thorough.
thorough, wide-ranging investigation, which I think is what a lot of people were afraid that it wasn't going to be.
And I was worried
just going to be right. Like it was going to be a formality, and you know, the Blackhawks are paying this law firm, so how how can you be sure, you know, it's even a good report? Well, it is. Like they are very clear about, you know, people's memories may not remember 100% everything, but the preponderance of the evidence, and this isn't a court of law, they don't have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, but there is enough information and credible witnesses and everything to say that, yeah, this was not handled appropriately, and this was not whatever should have happened. And, you know, the base gist of it is that that meeting did happen of all of the Blackhawks top brass that said, you know, let's just ignore this until after the Stanley Cup run, including implicating Joel Quenneville, which, you know, he has repeatedly denied that he knew anything about this. And the investigation says, no, he knew. So that's a problem, a real big problem.
Yeah. And now he's coaching one of the best hockey teams at the moment. And I don't know. I fell asleep, to be quite honest. I took a fat nap after the press conference wrapped up.
Strong plan.
But I haven't seen anything in regards to him being held accountable.
Yeah. The plan right now, and this, you know, depends on how much you trust Gary Bettman to make any smart decisions.
Yeah.
So Joel Quenneville and Kevin Cheveldayoff, I always pronounce his name wrong. That's close enough. Sorry, Kevin, the GM of Winnipeg, you know, both of those guys were in Chicago at that time. Both of them are implicated as having known what happened and having done nothing to properly escalate it. And they both have denied that they knew anything about it. And Gary Bettman basically said, I'm going to go talk to them and we'll see what happens. The Panthers, I think, put out a statement basically saying like, yeah, we understand that this is happening and we don't have any comment until after Gary Bettman does his thing. Nothing yet.
No. And as somebody who does public relations for a hockey team, up front, everything is going to be no comment.
Yeah.
Because Quenneville made a comment and it came back to bite him in the hiney.
Yep.
So I guarantee you every lawyer has told him,
Don't say anything about this.
Do not address this to the media. Do you go in there, you coach, you say, you answer the, you know, they played a great 60 minutes, get pucks in deep, the typical stuff, and get out.
Yeah.
You don't answer any other questions.
Yeah. Which I know is like, it's frustrating for fans and for onlookers to be like, why won't he answer these questions? Right. Why, you know, but yeah, from a PR perspective and from a legal perspective, I wouldn't want him saying anything.
No.
You know,
severe legal ramifications if it, you know, if he does. I mean, not that he's under oath when he's answering questions from the media, but, you know, like that's still public record and
can be used against you if you said a thing. So, I feel there's definitely more to come on that situation. Winnipeg tried to get out ahead of it and did, like, a press conference earlier on Tuesday that went very poorly, according to all of the Jets people that I know. And I'm sure you can go tune into Locked on Jets and hear Harrison's take on all of that. But Paul Maurice spoke and basically just did a terrible job of it. So, and so in this case, I guess – you don't have to hand it to him, but good job to the Panthers organization for not making it worse, sort of, from a legal perspective, at least.
At that point, really all you can do is throw out a press release. There's no reason to be addressing the media, even if you're firing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay, they've been relieved of their duties.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Next.
Yep.
Like, well, we'll continue looking at what's going on in this situation. I'm including some punishment from the NHL for all of this right after this. But we're going to talk about something delicious instead.
Yes. So to brighten up your day, let's talk about sweet teeth. I have a very big sweet tooth, and Built Bar is fantastic, especially when I'm trying to be all healthy and monitor what I'm taking in. But Built Bar is a delicious protein bar that comes in many different flavors, and they are dipped in 100% chocolate and come in flavors like coconut, salted caramel, double chocolate, raspberry, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. And if you don't have a favorite, you can absolutely try a variety pack and find a favorite. I think you should try a mixed box until you find your favorite. I think that that's very fair. And not only are the Built Bars delicious and taste like candy bars, they are great. Obviously high in protein. Calories range from 130 to 180 per bar. There's only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and of course, amazing flavors and all tasty, all healthy. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So if you like to run, I don't, but good for you, use Built Bar as your fuel to run. And you can get Built Bar by heading over to built.com and using promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your order at built.com.
I love snacks.
Same. Oh, love me a good hockey snack.
The fallout does continue from the announcement that Chicago made. Everyone sort of suspected that something was up whenever they announced they were doing a press conference and that Stan Bowman was not part of it. The general manager of the Blackhawks is basically, you know, your general manager is always there at your press conferences, and Bowman is more involved maybe than others were. And he was not slated to speak on this. And so you could put two and two together before the event even happened. But as a result of this, the Blackhawks announced that Stan Bowman has stepped aside from his role, aka, if you leave willingly, we don't have to pay you a lot of money in your contract, so please go do that. Right. And he also later in the day stepped down from his position as the GM of the 2022 Olympic men's ice hockey team for the United States. And basically, no one who was an executive for the Blackhawks in 2010 when this happened is with the organization anymore. Many of them have left already. Al McIsaac, who was also very heavily implicated in all of this, was also relieved of his duties as part of this. But Stan Bowman is obviously the big one. And it is... If you talk to Blackhawks fans, it is the right thing to do, both on a human level. And let's be real, the team is terrible right now. And it's awful that we have to think of it in this perspective. But if the Blackhawks were number one in the league, would they be doing this? Would we have had the same result? Uncertain. I would like to think yes. I would like to think that enough companies have learned enough of how horribly things go when you try to, you know, sidestep all this. But at the end of the day, Stan Bowman is done. And he released a statement of his own, which was very much like pass the buck, essentially.
Yeah,
because he said what many people in positions of power say, which is, yes, this happened. Like, I was a new GM at the time, so if it happened today, I'd do it differently. And he basically says, I trusted that my superior was going to take care of this. And, you know, he didn't. I never followed up. It just didn't happen. And as a person who works with employees and does workplace investigations for a living and tries to figure out what has gone wrong in workplaces, that excuse happens all the time. And it doesn't hold water for me. Like, no. I thought someone else was taking care of it. Guess what? You're still a manager. You're still a person in a position of power. you could have at least did a follow-up email or something.
Exactly.
No.
Like, if you don't even, like, that's a serious matter. And the mm-hmm. fact that you didn't follow up, I think, I mean, says a lot about you in general. And that's doing the bare minimum.
Yeah. And perhaps the most concerning, but also the most hockey thing about all of this is that essentially the reason that no one did anything about this, no one mentioned anything about this until months later, was because they were in the Stanley Cup. And all of this meeting happened after the Blackhawks won the Western Conference Final. They were en route to the Stanley Cup. And basically everyone was like, well, it's really hard to get here and we don't want to distract the team and blah, blah, blah. First off, like, I think getting rid of a video coach who in the report, like, players and other personnel described him as creepy. Like, right. He had, aside from what he, you know, was alleged to have done here, he had a reputation in general as right. being not good. Yeah. And, you know, I question how much, you know, quietly relieving him of his duties or telling him, like, hey, how about you sit the rest of this out, would have distracted or, you know, disrupted the team energy or whatever. Like, I don't think it would have that much.
No.
But, you know, they sure did. And so then they proceeded to do nothing about it for months. And they let him, you know, go to the cup party. He has his name on the Stanley Cup. He has a ring.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah. Because they just were like, well, let's just not do anything about this. And in the interim, between this first coming to light and him leaving the Blackhawks, he allegedly assaulted someone else.
Yeah, and
so
Quinville knew about all of this and still gave this guy like a glowing recommendation for a high school job, which, I mean, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, first of all, you are fully aware, and now you're sending this guy to work with kids.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't think that anybody who was involved in that meeting mm-hmm. should be working in hockey anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what else has slid
right
by them?
Right. Because you think, you know, they went to this much trouble to protect, whether they were like intentional, like it seemed like no one liked this guy anyway. So like right. they weren't really protecting him. It was more about like, oh, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. Like, but they went through this much trouble for a video coach who, again, people described as creepy and as arrogant and as someone who basically like acted like he had all the power. Like people didn't have very many good things to say about this guy. His performance was good. He was good at his video clipping job. But as a human, like, he sucked. And
weird.
Yeah, right.
You only like this guy because he's good at his job?
No. I'm capitalism. Sorry, capitalism.
Like, I'm...
Yeah.
So I will write someone off the second they give me vibes. Like, do not...
Yeah.
Keep that far away from me. I've sat in on interviews for my day job, and like when we're hiring someone, I'm like, no, I don't care if mm-hmm. this is just retail.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
Like, do not bring this near me or my customers.
Yeah,
like let alone the National Hockey League, mm-hmm. where that's like, oh, it's just video clipping, but clearly
right.
you're not good at
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's prestigious.
Who can trim a right. Twitter video?
Like, yeah, they're not hiring me anytime soon. Right. Like,
and like you have to be good at your job.
Yeah.
And yeah. you still like they covered it up for someone they don't even like.
Right. Which, you know, makes you think
what happened for the people who they do mm-hmm. like.
Mm-hmm. And like not even just Chicago, because you know, I think every team, and we can talk about this more in a minute, but if you are listening to this and you're thinking my team would never do this, I have unfortunate news for you. Your team probably has or has done yeah. something similar at some point. It is sadly a part of our culture in general and hockey culture in specific mm-hmm. and ain't great. So we'll look at that, and then we will get to the palate cleanser at the end of the show. I promise, because I already need one. My cat is sitting right there, and I'm like, please stay. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Before we get to that, though, this is a terrible segue. BetOnline.ag is back and better than ever. Their website is revamped as they get ready for the start of the basketball season. You can get more props, odds, lines than ever before. So whether it's basketball or football or baseball or hockey or boxing or fighting or casino games, you can find all that stuff and more on betonline.ag. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. You can go over to the new website, or you can find it on your mobile phone. Mobile phone. It's like 1998 again, I guess. But go check it out. Sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using promo code LOCKEDON. That's betonline.ag, where it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. I think all hockey fans kind of need to take a step back and, you know, glass houses and throwing stones and stuff. Like, no team is without sin in this. Like, they may not have done this, but they would have. Like, they would have.
And yeah, they wouldn't even pay their like concession stand workers for the pandemic. Like, Jeremy Jacobs or his son, Jonathan, or I think that's his name, I don't know, one of them at Delaware North, they were like, only if the Bruins finish their 6 games at home, then we'll pay them. You have more money than any of us could ever fathom. You can't shell out a couple $100,000, if that. And I think it's just, it comes back to ethics and morals.
Yeah. Which, sadly, I mean, like I said, like working in the corporate world of figuring out what is wrong in workplaces. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have seen throughout my career of, well, this person has done something bad, but they bring in a lot of money, or but they're really smart, or but they're really good at this one thing that they do. And so that person gets protected because someone is like, well, but I need them. And then guess what happens? Eventually you wind up with an enormous problem and not just a little problem.
Right. And something that could have been avoided.
And that, I mean, that's, you know, to a horrible extent is what happened here. We're going to protect this guy. He's good at his job. We're in the middle of the race for the Stanley Cup, the first time the Blackhawks have won it since 1960, whatever. You know, they were able to rationalize away why it was okay to not bring this up and to not do anything about it. And then to very quietly let him leave. He was, you know, essentially relieved of his duties. He signed a separation agreement. He got severance, I believe, for leaving, which is a great way to be like, hey, stay quiet about this thing, which I'm sure that's exactly why they did it. Can confirm from my own career. That's usually why you get the separation agreement when you're asked to leave. And he was allowed to continue his life unimpeded until he got arrested. So, you know, There are so many points of failure in this story. And the frustrating thing is that I don't know that anyone is going to learn from it. That any, like, now, you know, in 2010, their social media wasn't as big as it is now. And, you know, there was less, if people found things out, the chances of it getting out were lower.
Right.
You know, so the only thing that gives me hope that that things would happen differently today is basically our culture is different. And, you know, places are afraid, like, you know, it's like the, you only apologize because you got caught kind of thing. Like, teams might make the right decision, but under duress because they got caught, they still like instinctively would be like, well, what if we just don't do anything about this?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it would be like right now, if teams are trying to, you know, be better or whatever, I think that, it's because they're worried about getting, I mean, I don't think, hopefully it's not to this extreme, but, you know, if there's some sort of, not that I ever think Gary Bettman would have someone come in and investigate every single team. One, that's a lot of money. Two, people would burn the league down. Like, I think that would be the end, because who knows what we'd find.
Right.
And I don't think that any team is, you know, absolved from, you know, being morally above another.
Yeah.
But you all suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone needs to take a big step back and look at their own lives, look at their own business practices and be like, okay, even if you're motivated by the fear of how can I make sure this isn't us? Even if you're not motivated by the right reasons of morals and ethics and doing right by people, be motivated by the money. And, sometimes the risk is what talks. And in my own job, sometimes sitting down to someone and saying, we can do this one thing and here's what's going to happen. If we do this thing, here's what's going to happen. You might get sued and you might have to pay X amount of dollars. And then they're usually like, oh, okay, I'll do the other thing. Unfortunately, that's the thing that talks. And with the Blackhawks, well, guess what?
Money
talks here. The NHL has fined them $2 million, which on the one hand, that's a penalty. On the other hand, it basically, someone did the math and it's basically like if you find a regular average person, $60 or something. The Blackhawks.
That's great.
I think it was Sean Shapiro, maybe from The Athletic, pointed this out. The Blackhawks bring in generally about $2 million in each home game. That came from Sean Shapiro. He tweeted that stat and he's with The Athletic now, he is doing a lot of work on more the business side of hockey.
Yeah, so I was going to say, he's doing
numbers here.
That fun research with numbers that I want nothing to be a part
of.
But I love seeing
congrats
how
to him.
Down.
Yeah. And so on the one hand, $2 million looks like a big amount of money. On the other hand, I was at a really terrible Blackhawks game on Sunday and they made $2 million right there. So it's a slap on the wrist for them.
Right.
It is less money than the Devils had to pay when they signed that enormous Ilya Kovalchuk contract that the league said, LOL, you can't do this. So good, but not good. Going to hurt them.
No. And what do they, I don't know if Sean prefaced it all in his tweets or anything, but where do they get that figure? Because I guarantee you there's not a clause in the CBA of how much to fine a team.
Yeah.
Covering up a sexual assault.
It just seems like Gary Bettman picked the number out of the sky.
He just spun a wheel.
I'm sure some lawyer was like, just do this. And
just do one home game.
Yeah, probably. But at least there is some closure, I think, for the people involved in this, for the individual who kind of kicked this all off with his, the lawsuit and bring those complaints up. And I know that he released a statement that I know at least Rick Westhead, who's been doing amazing reporting on this, he shared of, basically just sort of being like, well, it happened, feels a little vindicated. I don't know how you, money doesn't fix anything. Stan Bowman getting fired or being allowed to leave doesn't fix anything, but at least, for this individual, it is a little bit of acknowledging what he went through and acknowledging how poorly he was treated and how, damaging that has been for him. So it is, a sad day in not for the Blackhawks, it's just sad because it is a reminder of how far we still have to go to keep things like this from happening and to make sure they're addressed appropriately if and when they do. And this took 10 plus years too long to resolve. And it's still not resolved because there is still the lawsuit pending.
Right. And I think Rick Westhead deserves an award because he has carried this thing.
Yeah.
And then now you have other journalists who are jumping on the train only because it's convenient for them.
Right.
Because it's the top story. And I was going through just my timeline, right before we were recording. And I think Frank Saravelli tweeted an article and pretty much everyone underneath it was like, where were you?
Right.
Through all of this, keeping quiet is part of the culture problem.
Right. Yeah.
And I also think it's disgusting that people are trying to figure out who it is. Wants to be listed as John Doe for a reason.
Leave him alone.
Don't go looking at rosters. There's no need to go sleuthing on this.
What does it give
you? Does it do to you? congrats, I guess. But
right, like congrats, you can Google.
Right, like you don't.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Win an award and you know, let this person have a little peace in their life.
Yeah,
it's not right. It's right. Not. But
like, just let him be. Yeah, that was very frustrating to see the kind of armchair detectives, you know, with the like conspiracy theory pinboard wall. Like, yeah, like, yes, like, unfortunately, like they, you know, in an effort to not like to release the report in its
whole, they had to do some identifying.
Right. And so there is enough information in there to figure out who it is, but there was also enough information in the lawsuit to figure out who it was too. Like, yeah. So it's just unfortunate that now people are broadcasting this and it's like, let him be not public. He chose to not be public for a reason.
And it's just like enough has already like been taken from him.
Right.
Can we just respect his privacy? That's it's that easy.
Yeah.
If you really want to put it out into the world, create a burner account and have it on private.
Right. And then it's like when you type the email when you're really mad about something and then you delete it. Yes. Like just do that. Like text it to yourself. I don't know. But like, leave this guy's name out of it. Like it's fine. You're not going to be cool. By
no, you're not a detective. You're not going to win an award for this. Freaks. Sorry. This whole thing is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And, you know, I think that it has brought up a lot for a lot of people who have been, you know, who have lived through this in their own life outside of hockey, people who have been in the hockey system, who have had things happen to them that, you know, they have not been properly cared for. They were not respected. And, you know, I think that someday there will be a reckoning. This isn't it.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And I hope that everybody who is affected by this just takes care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, that's what we all need to do.
Yes.
And we're going to take care of ourselves right now with our palate cleanser of an ender of the show. We're going to talk about dogs.
Fantastic.
What cool dog facts do you have to share with me?
Pugs don't have sweat glands.
They also don't have bones, depending on which pug you ask. So one of my favorite things, I think we both agree on this, about hockey or not, is all of these teams with team dogs, which is also they're going for like a good cause because they're training them to be service dogs, which is really awesome. And every time a team posts their dog doing anything cute, I'm like, this is the greatest day of my life. Yes. The Capitals have it. Like, first off, Western Conference teams need to get on this dog train. Like, the Blues have a dog, so there's something I have to like about the St. Louis Blues, I guess.
Yeah, I think they might be one of the only ones.
Right.
Wild. They had one.
Well, bring the dog back. Like, the Islanders have posted some really cute stuff about their dog.
The Capitals.
The Capitals dog has its own Twitter, which is one of my favorite follows, and I'm always retweeting dog things.
I think that's very my cute. Dream job, to run a social account for a team dog.
Yeah. I think
you see yourself in 5 years.
Right. Taking pictures of a dog to put on Twitter, obviously.
Right.
That's like, it's so comforting. And then they always like drag the guys in to like make the guys take pictures with puppies, and that's really adorable too. At one point that like the Kings did they posted, they're like, oh, we're selling like dog collars and toys and stuff. And I was like, get at me when you get a team dog.
Right.
Like chop, chop.
I think that dogs are wonderful. I have a cat, but back home in Massachusetts, I do have a dog. She's pretty wonderful. And I think all pets are just kind of like therapeutic. I think that, you know, after a long day, there's nothing like being greeted at the door. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure after a loss, the dog's great.
Right. There's a very cute picture, if you go on the Islanders Twitter, of their dog taking a pregame nap. And it's wearing a little Islanders hat. And it's really adorable.
I haven't seen that.
Yes,
it is. I saw them post on Instagram earlier.
It's so cute. And I think more hockey teams, moral of the story, need to give us dog content. Yes. And they should do it. Even the Chicago Wolves, the AHL team that I cover, they have adopted dog nights. And you can go to the game and they have dogs there. And you can go adopt a dog at a hockey game. And it is my favorite night. Like,
I need that.
So good. It's so good. And like all of us in the press box are up there like, yeah, Biscuit, someone go adopt Biscuit. And they like put them on the Jumbotron. And like someone brings the dog out on the ice and you can go pet them in the lobby. It's the greatest. And really, and I've been to minor league games where they have bring your dog night.
Yes. The bark in the park or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, so
fantastic.
Come on. Like it was one of the greatest games I've been to. I walked in and there's dogs everywhere.
Right. And I think the Miami Marlins have like an open policy where you can, I'm almost positive.
Amazing.
They have, but like it's a very frequent event that they have, and it's almost enough to make me a fan of their team, but not really.
I'm a fan of their dog policy.
Right. Like that's something I would like every team to adopt.
I think that's a fair note to end things on today. Yeah. Dear teams, more dogs. Sincerely. I know that
GMs us. Listen to this.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. God. Like less bad employment practices, more dogs.
More dogs.
Simple.
But don't use dogs to cover things up.
No, no. Your dog has to be organic and not, you know, conspiracy theory dog.
Yeah, it can't. Yeah. It can't play a part in anything.
No. The dogs are innocent and pure and perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the tagline for the show. Dogs are perfect. Well, that is it for today. Keep listening to Lock On NHL all week. I'm sure this won't be the last time that you hear about what's going on, and our hosts throughout the week will keep you updated as to any big developments. Do go, and if you want to hear more about this, Locked On Blackhawks has been doing a great job of covering it. So go give Jack a listen as he kind of untangles what this means for his team. Because as much as the most important part is the human ramifications, it does have hockey ramifications. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to think about those at some point. So go check out Locked On Blackhawks. This show is available, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. And it's on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Jess, where can folks find you?
You can find me at Jess Belmosto. And
just like that.
Locked On Flames.
Nice and easy. Yeah, you can listen to Locked On Kings as well. They're bad, so don't. Well, I mean, listen to the show, but don't watch the Kings. It's fine. But yeah, that's all we've got. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning back in at the end. If you skipped the rest of the show and just joined for dog talk, that's awesome because dogs are great. And that's
can you tweet us your dogs.
Yes, please tweet your dog pictures.
Or
yes.
Like any random dog. I don't care.
Anything.
It can be a stock photo.
Yeah, it's fine. Just dog pictures. Yes. Tweet at us.
That's your homework
assignment. Twitters are there.
Yes.
They're, yeah.
Somewhere, yeah.
Just like that.
Like, the camera, like, reverses it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Dog pictures. There's your assignment. We're gonna go probably Google pictures of dogs.
Yeah, honestly. Gonna go relax.
Well, thank you all for listening. Hope you have a great day. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day of the week for more hockey talk here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.